You're listening to a sermon from Plus Life, a church that exists to see lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you will be stirred in your heart and renewed in your mind as you hear the preaching of God's word today.
If you have your Bibles, please stand with me as we get into God's word tonight. Tonight's going to be a very Christmassy message. I don't get to preach much on Christmas, but tonight I get to preach on Christmas, so I'm excited. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to start from verse 1 and read all the way to verse 20. This is exciting. It says this in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor over governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, as we dive into your word tonight, as we look at the reason for the season, as we look at the birth of your Messiah, of the birth of Christ into this world tonight, God, we pray that you reinvigorate our hearts tonight, that you instill passion once again for this great story, this great news of the gospel found in Christmas. God, I pray that you just revitalize our hearts for your word and for the good news of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, please convict us, move in us, change us. Use me as your instrument of peace. I pray these things. In Jesus, your mighty name, we pray these things. Amen and amen. You may be seated.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Amen. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And everybody else who didn't know, that's what Christmas is about. Did anyone notice something? Like, this is, I've only noticed it this year around. I've been watching this Christmas special ever since I was a child, back when it was still on VHS. Who remembers VHS, right? Of course, no one. Maybe, I don't know. I just noticed this Christmas, that when Linus is reciting this, once he gets to that point where the angel says, "Fear not," he drops his safety blanket. Did anyone notice that? It's so cool. Yeah, I think it's little tidbits like that that just mind-blowing, you know, spoilers of Easter egg or whatever, right? But like I said, I have been watching this Christmas special ever since I was a child. It's been like a Christmas tradition for me, and I hope to do the same now, and, you know, now that we're married and stuff, to be watching this every Christmas, because this is probably the best Christmas show, movie, special thing that you could ever watch. Primarily because Mark is like shaking his head. Man, we need to pray for Mark. You know, he just came back from the East. I don't know what he brought back, whatever. What ideas, you know. But listen, this there has not been, at least from what I've seen in, you know, the new Christmas movies, all on Netflix, like The Christmas Prince. Like, what? You know, like, I don't care about some Christmas prince, right? Unless it's a Prince of Peace. Amen. Woo! All right. But you don't see the gospel in Christmas shows anymore, or Christmas movies, or Christmas specials anymore. And in fact, when this, I was doing some research on this special, because again, I love this Charlie Brown Christmas special. I was doing some research, and that whole portion there of Linus reading the gospel of Luke almost never made the final cut. When Charles Schulz, the creator of the Peanut Gallery, the Peanut Gang, and Charlie Brown, brought up this idea to his producers and to his directors about having Linus read the Gospel of Luke in this Christmas special, all of his team, the directors and the producers, were totally against him. They said, no one's going to buy it. It's not going to work. It's not going to sell. In fact, his director actually said, "This is religion. It just doesn't go in a cartoon, right?" But Charles Schulz, who was a professing believer in Christ, who in all his works of Charlie Brown embedded some sort of Christian value into the script, he said with much conviction, "If we don't do it, who will?" He was saying, if we don't tell the people the true meaning of Christmas, who will? If we don't do it, who will? Christmas is a wonderful time of the year. Family gatherings, gifts, and food, lots of food, you know. All of the ugly Christmas sweaters. So many cool and great things in Christmas that you don't get to do every single, throughout the rest of the year, only in this specific season. And it is great. But I think in the midst of the festivities, as we can often get caught up in the consumer part of Christmas and the traditions even of Christmas. We can often get caught up in all the festivities and forget our role as believers in the Christmas season. I mean, yes, we're all sitting here and we all know the reason for the season is Jesus Christ, right? Yes, we know that it's not about Santa Claus and that Santa Claus isn't real. Sorry for those who still believe that, right? But for sometimes we know the meaning of Christmas, but we fail to deliver the message of Christmas. See, that's our role in times of in this holiday season. Just as Charles Schulz said, that if we don't give the message, who will? See, Christmas, like Easter, is one of those great opportunities that we have as believers, where we don't have to make so much of an effort to start up a conversation with our unbelieving friends and families about the gospel. It's right there for them throughout the entire season. Right? It's like you're sitting down for coffee. Oh, it's Christmas. Do you know what Christmas is about? It's not a challenge. It's right there for us. It's a great opportunity for us to share. But how often have we shared the gospel to our unbelieving friends and families in this season. And I know for myself, I'm talking for myself for sure. There was a couple of weeks ago, every morning at work, we have a sort of a team gathering, and everybody in the warehouse gathers, and we just debrief about the day and the work and all that stuff. And one of my supervisors, he had a little speech about Christmas, and he talked about how Christmas is about, you know, goodwill and being nice to one another and greeting each other, being all these things. And I had this conviction in my heart to say, hey, you know what, that's not simply what Christmas is about. It's not just about being nice. It's about a Savior who came as a child to save humanity from the wrath of God, save us from our sin and death and hell. That's what Christmas is about. And see, I think if we don't answer that question, if we don't step up to that plate as believers, if we don't answer the question that Mr. Schultz puts up, that if we don't do it, who will? The world will step in that place instead. And in fact, the world has stepped in that place and has answered what Christmas is about. And they've filled it with their own definition of Santa Claus and gifts and Starbucks red cups and ugly sweaters and all of these other things that totally are far from the truth of what Christmas is about. See, society has defined Christmas because Christians have failed to declare its message. And so tonight I want us to get back to that heart, get back to the idea that, listen, it's our privilege, it's our duty as believers to declare the message of Christmas. To declare the message of God's love, that He Himself sent His Son out of His great love for us, to reconcile humanity to Himself, to make a way to pay for the sin debt that we had, that we owed. And so Christmas has this message of the good news, the gospel. The title of my message tonight is Tidings of Great Joy. Tidings of Great Joy. Good news. Do you still believe that it's good news, church? You can answer me on this part. Do you still believe that it's good news? That is great news, that we as believers have the greatest news, the greatest hope, the greatest truth, the only truth, and that every ear has to hear this good news. God made a way to reconcile humanity to Himself, and we know about it. We ought to share it. That's what we do with good news. If we truly believe that it's good news, we can't help but share it. It's like, for those of you who don't know, who didn't stick around for after the Christmas dinner last week, Faye and I are pregnant, mostly Faye. But thank you. Thank you. You know, it's going to be hard work for me, but you didn't have to clap, but thank you anyways. But yeah, Faye and I are pregnant. So great news is amazing news. And when we found out, my wife made me swear, of course, you know, but she told me not to tell anybody, right? Because we had to keep it a secret. We wanted to pray through everything first and take it in ourselves first before we tell. But let me tell you, when I got to work that day, I just want to tell everybody the good news. I didn't, though. So great. But it's that same sentiment that when you know something's so good and you know something is so great, you cannot help but contain it to yourself. It's like if you know the answer to a question, and or if you know the cure to cancer or some sort of disease, you wouldn't keep it to yourself, right? Well, folks, brothers and sisters in Christ, we know the cure to sin and hell and death. Why would we keep it to ourselves? And why would we pass up this great opportunity of the Christmas season to keep it to ourselves instead of sharing it to those who need to hear it? We ought to be utilizing this season to tell people about this message of joy and hope and peace and love that Christmas declares. And I get it, maybe to some of us, Christmas has become redundant. It's become a routine. It's become a tradition. We play the same songs. We do the same traditions at home. And so maybe it's become something of just something that we just do every year. And maybe the meaning is still there, but the message has been diluted with all the gifts and all the festivities. But listen, this cannot be so, especially for us who have tasted that the Lord is good. We cannot keep the message of Christmas to ourselves. So what should we do? How should we respond to the Christmas message? Well, in our passage tonight, we looked at again the nativity story, but we look at the story of the shepherds on the Christmas night, and I love how they respond to this good news that the angels give them. I love how they respond to the gospel as they receive it. And I believe tonight that we ought to take their example as we move throughout this Christmas season. Christmas is only a couple of days away. We still have time to behave and to respond similarly to how the shepherds responded. So I want to look at that tonight. How do we respond to the Christmas message? And there's three ways that we see through the shepherd's response. So let's look at this tonight. I'll give you my first point right away. How do we respond to the Christmas message? First and foremost, more importantly, we need to receive it. We need to receive it. It says when in verse 15 of our passage, Luke chapter 2, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. The first and most appropriate response to the Christmas message is that we receive it. We receive it for ourselves. And maybe I'm not talking to an unbeliever tonight. I don't know your heart and I don't know your relationship with God. First and foremost, if you do not have a right relationship with God, you have to receive the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the first understanding that we get from this, that we receive it. But the second understanding that we have to have for even those who are believers is that we need to receive the message of the gospel. We need to receive the message of Christmas, similar to how the shepherds received it. Look how they received it. For example, it says that they personalized it. They said, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They received it in a way where they understood the great privilege that they had when the angels delivered this good news to them. They had realized that out of all the people in the world, with all the professions in the world, with all the backgrounds of people in the world, with all the conditions of the people in the world, God chose them first to hear the gospel, to hear the good news first. Them, a bunch of good-for-nothing shepherds. See, in ancient times, the shepherds were at the lowest of the low in the caste system, especially in Jewish society. Most of society had already settled down into cities. They've already settled down into agriculture and trade and all of these things. And they practiced purity and cleanliness. Meanwhile, the shepherds were still pretty much nomadic, going from pasture to pasture, taking care of their sheep. And if you take care of sheep every day, 24/7, every day, all day, right? You end up smelling like your sheep, and you end up living out in the wilderness. You end up living out in the cold. And so, if you're a shepherd and you entered into town, they knew exactly who you were because they could smell you. Shepherds were at the lowest of the low in society. And yet they realized, they recognized that God had chosen them, unworthy as they were, as dirty as they were, as unintelligent as they were. Society deemed them so unintelligent that when it came to court cases, shepherds were never allowed to testify because their testimony, their witness was considered invalid because of because they were uneducated. These were the people that that the gospel had met first. This is the people that the good news had arrived to first. And the shepherds recognized this. They received it in this way, the privilege of the good news. They recognized that God had found mercy, had found favor with them, even though they had no merit of their own, even though they were just simple shepherds. God gave them this great privilege to be the first bearers of the gospel. They received it with much privilege. And imagine how different the story would have been if, after hearing the angels, they just went back to watching sheep. Imagine that how different the story would have been if, after seeing the angels, they turned to one another, the shepherds turned to one another and said, let's not talk about this night ever again. All right? Let nothing ever happen. Let's get back to watching sheep. How ridiculous would that have been? They were given this good news and they didn't do anything about it. Just kept it to themselves. It's like that Christmas gift that you'll get this year that you'll be like, oh, thanks. And you just toss it to the side, maybe put it into storage, maybe re-gift it, right? Oh, a gym membership, thanks. You know. But see, that's often how we as believers are like with the Christmas message. We who are just as low, in fact, even lower than the shepherds because of our sinfulness, we who are lost in our sin, who have been given the gift of the gospel, the good news by grace, not of our own merit, because we had no merit. We who did not deserve it, yet God still invited us, still gave us the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We who have experienced Christ firsthand in our personal lives. I think sometimes we find ourselves in contrast to the shepherds, because instead of sharing the good news that we have, I think we keep it to ourselves more often than not. Unlike the shepherds, we're more prone to keeping the message to ourselves and not going out and acting on an. Maybe we've forgotten, or maybe we haven't really received the privilege of the gospel. Maybe we've forgotten that privilege, that we were just sinners and God gave us His word. God declared to us in our lives His good news. Has our joy and an excitement for the gospel grown dim? Do we still believe that the coming of our Savior, the coming of Christ, was the greatest news in humanity? And all of us said yes earlier. The greatest gift that humanity could ever receive. If that is true, if we do believe it, if we see the privilege that it is in our hands with the good news of Jesus Christ, are we going about and sharing it? Are we going about and declaring it to those who have not received it? If we ourselves have received it, truly received it, are we going about and sharing it with others? Verse 16. I love this because this is the response of how the shepherds, after receiving the gospel, after receiving the good news from the angels, look at verse 16. It says that, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered if what the shepherds told them. So here's the second point, right? It's not just a matter of receiving it. And I'm sure a lot of us have received it. But as I've already been talking about, we also need to retell it. Retell it. The shepherds, despite how extraordinary their claims were, how ludicrous their claims were to maybe any normal or normal person that they would talk to, they still told people. Despite knowing that they could be ostracized even more, despite knowing that they could be rejected all the more, that people would think that maybe they were lying, that people would think that maybe they were crazy, they still went out and shared exactly what they were told. See, I think it goes back to how they received the good news. They recognized that this news was not just for themselves. It's good news. It's a news that they could not keep to themselves. I mean, that's what the angel told them, right? The angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." They knew that this news could not be kept to the, could not be only for themselves. It's what Jesus says, right? Who lights a lamp and hides it under a basket? No, that's not what you do. They knew that after they received this good news, that they would have to retell this good news. That's how that's what you do with any good news, right? I mean, we do it in our conversations all the time. We talk about what the highlights of our past week, the good things of our past week. I mean, again, it's Christmas season, right? Like, how many times have I had conversations about sales going on, you know, in the mall, and, oh, this is 50% off, 40% off. Like, if you knew, right, something, a great deal or a great good news, that you would absolutely share it, because that's the effect of the good news. You can't help but pass it along. Yet again, when was the last time that you shared the gospel to someone? Forget about Christmas season, but when was the last time in the however many days we have in the year, when was the last time you shared the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ? I mean, I think we're so quick to share, again, like I said, the highlights of our week, how we passed an exam, the awesome show that we watched on Netflix, the promotion that we got, all these other good news, and they're all great, but what tops all of that is that we have a Savior, the good news of Jesus Christ. We were given the good news so that we would be able to tell others this good news. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 to 17, Paul talks about how his own salvation here. He says, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as a foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect and patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, mortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Paul in this passage is saying, listen, the reason why I was saved is so that Christ would be able to communicate to other sinners, to those who are just as sinful as I am, his perfect patience. That if I, the most wretched of sinners, the chief of sinners, could be saved, then so too can all other sinners. This was what Paul was getting at, and it's the same thing with us, that when we receive the gospel and when Christ saved us, it's to demonstrate, it's not just for us, it's to demonstrate to others that Christ is able, and Christ is able to save even to the utmost sinner. Receive the gospel not just so that we could be redeemed, but also that others could hear it and be redeemed as well. That's the impact of the gospel. Listen, what we talk about in the Christmas season, what we preach here, are all echoes of the good news of Jesus Christ. All echoes of the message that these shepherds distributed amongst the people. Echoes of what the apostles written in God's word. But just like a normal echo, what stops the echo from going is when you put objects in a room that just absorb the sound. And the question is, are we just absorbing the sound? Are we just absorbing the good news and not echoing it back? We're not bouncing it back to others who need to hear it. Paul says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Listen, in this Christmas season, it's not just about celebrating Jesus' birth. It's also about sharing that good news. We can't merely just be consumers of it. We also must be distributors of the gospel. Propagators of it. We are to receive it. We are to retell it. And finally, we are to relive it. We are to relive it. In verse 20, it says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." Even after they had stopped by to see the baby Jesus, and they told the people there of what exactly the angels had said, they left that place and continued to worship God. They continued to praise Him. I mean, that is a life-changing, life-altering event. We are to live out this in the same way we are to live out the message of Christmas. Listen, there is power in this story. There is power in this narrative, in the birth of Jesus Christ, even the knowing of the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. See, as we have been talking about, maybe Christmas has become redundant to us. Maybe it's become routine, a tradition to us. Simply something that we do every year. And as much as we know the meaning, we lose sight of giving the message. But I think perhaps the reason why we sometimes fail to share the message of Christmas is because we ourselves aren't living in its power. Because we ourselves aren't living in the power of the gospel. I mean, how can you tell others that it works when you don't see it working in your own life? How can you tell people that it's good news when in your own life you don't see it as good? Listen, there is power in the message of Christmas. Power that we can live in, that we can relive in, not just on Christmas Day and not just in the holiday season, but every day of the year. There is power in it. And I want to share a little bit about this, because in the Greek there are two general understandings or two definitions of power. One deals with position and one deals with potency. One deals with authority and one deals with ability. And we have this because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have this in the message of Christmas. Listen to this in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. It says this: "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as son. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God." This passage here is talking about how God sent forth His Son to be born of a woman, born under the law, so that we would be heirs to the kingdom of God, so that we would be called sons and daughters of the Most High God, so that we'd be adopted into the family of God. God sending His Spirit of His Son into our hearts, being able, so that our hearts would be able to cry out, "Abba, Father," redeeming us from our sins, adopting us into His family, freeing us from the enslavement of sin. This is the position, the power that we have in the gospel. The position, it's the authority. In Roman times, when you were freed as a slave, you weren't just merely freed as a slave, you're also made a citizen of Rome. And this is exactly the allusion, the imagery that Paul is calling on here in our passage in Galatians, that as we have been freed from sin because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have also been accepted as a citizen of the kingdom of God, heirs through Him. We have this position because of this Christmas story, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And along with that, again, remember, there's the idea of power. It's the idea of position and also potency. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 to 20, it says this: "Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, the immeasurable greatness of his power. The same power that rose Christ from the grave lives in us. We were just singing about this, right? The same power that rose Christ from the grave lives in us. That's position and potency. Talking about authority and ability. And sometimes, like I said, sometimes the reason why we fail to share the gospel, whether it's in Christmas or outside of the holidays, it's because we are living in defeat ourselves. It's because that we aren't living in the power of the gospel. But God's word reminds us that because Christ came, because God gave his son, because Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, that we are now called sons. We have the position, and that we are now, the same spirit that rose Christ from the grave lives in us. We have the potency, we have the ability to live out the life that God has called us to live. And again, this just doesn't end in Christmas. It doesn't end when the holiday season is done. We're called to live this every day of the year. Let Christmas be a reminder of the goodness that we have as believers, a privilege that we have as believers. That we were chosen, that while we were still sinners, that God chose us and gave us the message of hope, the message of the gospel to share to others. I want to challenge us, church, that as we meet in our with our families, or as we meet with our unbelieving friends this holiday season, that bring up this conversation, bring up the gospel in your conversations, because what better opportunity do you have? Listen, I'm going to close here, but I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. I love what Romans chapter 8 says. Romans chapter 8 says this: for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Romans chapter 8 is talking about that until Christ came into this world, all of creation in hopelessness, in its brokenness, in its sinfulness, in its depravity, have been waiting for a Savior. And what Paul says, that until now, until this very moment, until the moment that Christ came, there was no hope, there was no good news for the world until Christ came. And we have that privilege tonight, as believers, to share and declare that good news, to live it out, to retell it, to receive it with all the privileges it has. Let's be like the shepherds this holiday season. Let's go out and declare the good news. Let's celebrate and let's worship God for the news that he has given us. Let's live in the privilege that we have as sons and daughters of Christ. And maybe if you're here tonight and you have had a rough year where you have been living in defeat and you have been living powerlessly through sin and struggle and the circumstances of your life, let Christmas be a reminder of the position of the power you have in Christ. The access we have to the Father that was afforded to us through Jesus Christ. I know for myself it's a reminder. I know for myself, with all the busyness of work and life and even the holiday season with family and friends, and that this message gets lost in all of it. We can't just let it pass by. We can't just forget this privilege that we have. We must share it. Remember it. Recall it. Retell it. Relive it. Let's stand. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, forgive us for missing the point of Christmas. Forgive us for keeping the message to ourselves. Forgive us for passing up the opportunities that you've given us to share and declare your gospel. Convict our hearts, O God, once again. Give us a passion once again for the good news of Jesus Christ. Give us a heart again for the lost. Give us a drive again for those who have not encountered you, for those who have not had a right relationship with you. I pray, O God, that you would give us a heart for them. That we would not pass up this holiday season to praise you, to declare to those who are lost the good news of Jesus Christ. Convict us, O God. Give us opportunities to share the gospel with our friends and our loved ones, with those we meet on the street. May the privilege, may the power of this Christmas story reign supreme in our hearts. May we live out the power of the gospel. May we live out in the power, the same power that rose Christ from the dead. Oh God, encourage our hearts, affirm our hearts tonight. Declare over us again that we are sons and daughters. That because Christ came, we could be sons and daughters of the Most High God. God, I pray that we would not let this Christmas season pass up without honoring you, without sharing your good news. Change us tonight, oh God. We celebrate the great gift that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We praise you in Jesus, your mighty name. We pray these things. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you were blessed by the sermon today. If you would like to learn about the gospel or know more about our church, please visit pluslifepeople.com. Remember to subscribe for more content. Until next time, stay blessed.